Okay, today's
Can I
done.
just sorry, sorry, sorry.
Go ahead.
I made myself voicemail again. That we dedicate this year to Yoinasan, Binyamin Ben Bloemen, Lefour Shelemi undergoes now, as we speak, a kidney transplantation. It's Benny Hartman, you know, the one who sits right behind the bima in Zimo, Rabbi.
Oh, sure. Wow. Of course, Lema.
Yeah. So right now, Yoinasan Binyamin Ben Bloemen, Lefour Shelemi.
Name.
Name.
Beseder, let's begin then. Daf Lamed, this is today's daf. This is now Halacha Chet. So let's begin. Hamakadesh ba'orla. So someone tries to kiddushin with something that is Isur Hana'ah. First one is orla. We know what that is. That's fruits grown in the first 3 years of a tree's planting. Kilei keren. That's again a lot of these sugars we've seen before. That relates to like a weed is planted in the vineyard that makes the whole everything around it. We'll discuss exactly what perimeter and everything, or how many rows, but becomes asur b'hana'ah. So he tries to make kadosh in that. Bashura Niskal, this is an ox that has to be stoned. It's killed someone. Or Be'egla Rufa, that's last week's parsha, we just lained this yesterday. So the Egla Rufa itself, we'll discuss, I think. Or Be'tzipurei Metzora, these are the birds that use part of the Tara process of the Metzora. Or Se'er Nazir, this is the hair of a Nazir, we discussed this as well, but when the hair is removed, that's also Asubana. Peter Chamor, this is the firstborn donkey. We'll discuss that as well in the Gemara. Or basar b'chalav, it's meat and milk cooked together. Then not only is it an isur achila, it's also isur hana. Or bechulin shenishchutu ba'azara, if you take a regular animal and try to slaughter inside the Beit HaMikdash. All these things are isur hana'ah. If you try to mekadesh a woman with it, then we say enu mekudesh. Okay, that doesn't work. However, machran v'kidshan b'dmeyan, if you sell them, this is isur hana'ah, which you're not allowed to do. And you got money for it. It sounds like at this stage that money now can be used for kiddushin. Exactly how that works, we have to discuss. But all these things will get to the Gemara. Now, so I'm against for all the kilei keren. So Peter Chamor, if someone tries to firstborn donkey and he tries to mekadesh a woman, not very romantic, but he decides to do so. Rabbi Elazar says mekadshim bo, you can mekadshim bo tisha, it would work. Rabbi Yochanan says ain mekadshim bo isha. Now, before we get to the most obvious question, which is mentioned in our Mishnah that you said, let's just deal with the machloket first before we involve our Mishnah. So Rabbimi says, B'shem Rabbi Lazar, Petach Hamor Kachin Botish, Mekavachomer, we can use a Kavachomer. Uma im habachor she'en mutzimiyado isurin bechayav. So if you remember, when it came to a Bechor, we said that what happened to firstborn kosher animals given to a Kohen. The Kohen's meant to then offer it, as we said, as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. And if it develops a mum, then it can also enjoy from it. But the point is, we've already said while it's still alive, before it is considered his. We learned this from Sukkim last time that he can, oh, maybe 2 times ago, but he can mekadesh a woman with it, and that has a kedusha that while the animal's still alive isn't removed. It's a kadosh mirechem, and while it's still alive, it's the kedusha doesn't come off it. So too at Omar, so that you say mekanchin isha. When it comes to Petach Hamor, its so-called Kedusha, how does its Kedusha removed? We say it's Tifteh Beseh. It gives a coin a seh in its place, and the Kedusha is removed. So Kal Vachomer, trying to build a Kal Vachomer Bechor, you can mekadshin bo at the Isha. Okay. The Gemara says, oh, my nafkin ben Ehun, what else is the machloket? Let's say. I have to say, add the word else, because we already know a nafkin ben Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yochanan. One question is whether Petach Hamor can mekadshin bo at the Isha. However, what we're saying is saying avar updayo shalom midata baalim. Another understanding would be, if let's say you went, you had a petach hamor, and somebody else redeemed it, would it work? According to Rabbi Lazar, Omer einu padui. Why? Because he says mekadshin bo tisha, which means it's a mammon of the baal and belongs to the owner of it, and therefore you would need dat baalim. You need the knowledge or the consent of the owner to do the pidyon. I can't go and pour there somebody else's property without the consent. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says ain mekadshin bo et isha, because it's not really considered like the owner's personal property, then it really another half community you find therefore what according to Rabbi Yochanan is padui, that if someone else went to redeem it would work. That seems to be another nefkin the Gemara tries to flesh out. Gemara now says, well, let's have a look. Matnita Masaila Rebbe Eliezer upaligala Rabbi Lazar upaligala. So let's not lose track here. Rabbi Lazar says mekadshin bo isha, which means it's his, effectively like his own personal property, even if it's in his firstborn so-called kadosh state, this Peter Chamor. So let's have a look. So we find this bright seems to be kasha and a sorry as a helps his position and is a kasha as well. So how so? Manina why? Because it's hagonev peter chamor. If someone steals someone peter chamor shachavero, he has to pay meshalem tashlumi kefil. Now, if it doesn't belong to him, why do you have to pay tashlumi kefil? It only makes sense to pay tashlumi kefil if it's someone's own personal property. So that makes a lot of sense now. So that seems to assist or help the position of Rabbi Elazar, so that it's like his own personal property, mekachim body issue, because he's like mishlam tashlumi kefil. However, the sof of the sefer, however, is doesn't really work so well. Paligilavi, why? Says she'afal pi she'ein lo bo achshav yesh lo bo le'achar zman. In other words, the reason why I have to pay kefil is because despite the fact it's not his now, it will be when he redeems it. So that seems to go against it because according to Rebbe Elazar, if you say mekachin bati isha, it means it's his right now. So that's why it seems to be a kasha and a help. In other words, I'll just show you the Korban Eder. He says that if you say mekachin kefil, we said mamon balin, and if not, it says vati prusha afal pishach shav kodem pidyon before redeem the petach mo asul lebana. It's asul bahana mikomakom kevan shu yachol lifdoto because he can redeem it or lahanot bo lachar zman and then benefit from this chamor. Hilkach meshalam tashlumi kefil. Therefore, you pay double. And that's not like Rabbi Elazar. I know Rabbi Elazar deleted today, but even right now, it's considered his mamon. Because in Mekachim Bati Isha. That's why the Reisha seems to support him, the Sefer seems to be against him. Now the Gemara continues. Now our Mishnah, however, is a kasha on Rabbi Elazar. Why? Because our Mishnah explicitly says, Peter Chamor ein Mekachim Bati Isha. What can you do with that? The Gemara now says that Pata la Rabbi Elazar la Charifa. Meaning, if you don't want to redeem the Peter Chamor Beser, what happens? You are aftor. They chop at the back of the neck, and then it's Asur Bahana. Ah, so in other words, what Rabbi Elazar would say is normally when he says Mekachin bo Isha, we're talking about the Petach Chamor while it's still alive. Because again, you can, well, if you want to use that Sfar we said, you can eventually redeem it, but he even holds it that it's his mammon right now. When is it considered Mamash Asu Ba'anah? If you didn't do the redemption process and you got the axe and chopped them back of the neck and killed it, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. If you tried to, this is even getting less romantic, you tried now to Mekachin issue with this dead donkey. Then it wouldn't work because it's Isra'na. Okay, fine. That's how you'd understand it. Let's see, I just can't believe this. Right. So, Chamar Emekach Bodisha. Patar Oyer Lacharifa. Da Amar Abalaza, Hakol Modim, even everyone would agree, Lacharifa, Eno She'eno Padoy. Now, importantly, just so you understand, he says, Hakol Modim, everyone agrees that after Arifa, if you don't redeem it and you chop at the back of the snake, then we say that it's Eno Padoy, then it's considered basically Asupana. Let's have a look. Now we've got, if you like a bride, it seems to be cholek. It says, Peter Chamor ain mekachim bo isha, Rabbi Shimon is matir. So how do we deal with this brighter? This, according to Rabbi Elazar, is not going to work. This brighter doesn't make sense according to Shita, because hada paligla batartaya. In other words, whichever way you want to explain this brighter we just read, it's not going to work. If you say this machlok but Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim is bechay when it's still alive, bechayay. Then there's a kasha mina derabanan. Because why? Because he holds while it's still alive, mekachin bo to isha. And if you want to say that brighter, the machlok min Shimon Rebbe and Chachamim is via peta that while it's still alive, well, the Chachamim there say, ain mekachin bo to isha. So that would be kasha. And in al Kharifa, he's saying, oh no, that brighter is talking about after the animal's been, had the peta chamos had the process of arifa done to it. Then you got a kasha, because he said, achar arifa, everyone holds this basic asur b'ana. So you've got an issue because the writer says it's a machlok with Rabbi Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Pate lave mir Rabbi Shimon. So paligalavim Rabbi Shimon. So how do we deal with this writer? So very cleverly, Rabbi Chinen says, B'shem Rabbi Yonah, you said you've actually forgot there's another scenario. What could be another scenario? Tiftar shemet, where the animal just dropped dead and died. Oh, in other words, there are three scenarios. When the animal's alive, according to Rebbe Eliezer says, well, according to Chachamim, for sure you can make kachim b'dir. It's his mammon. After Arifa, he says, well, everyone says, that it's asur ba'anah. He can't make kachim b'dir. What's a machloket here? We're talking about we didn't get a chance of b'diyah, but didn't do the arifa either. This animal just dropped dead. In that situation, it seems to be that's a machloket between Chachamim and Rebbe Shimon. Okay, here. So in other words, it would be according to Rabbi Shimon, it's only if Tarif is done, it makes asubana, but if not, then it's dropping dead is fine. Now the Gemara says, Al dat Rabbi Elazar. I just missed a bit. Let's go back a bit. Now, arfo asur bahanaya. If you do arifa, it's asur bahana. Why? Because where do we learn from the Torah that ach arifa, particularly everyone holds, or that it's asur bahana? Because it says we do gzer shava arifa, back to what? Back to eglarufa. Ma arifa shala halan, meaning by eglarufa. Shemahan is arfo v'korvro. It says explicitly you got to bear it there, meaning it's asur bahana. Af arifa, so too we learn the gzer shava, that the process of arifa is what is makes it asur b'hanah, shenemar kan arufo asur b'hanaya. Now the Gemara says, okay, this makes a lot of sense according only to one opinion. That makes the sense al da'at to Rabbi Elazar. Nicha, why? Because nicha b'chayav hu matir, therefore tzarich shi'a asur la'achar arifa. In other words, according to Rabbi Elazar, says that the eglar, the, this not eglar, the peter chamor is mutar b'hana'a while it's still alive, meaning the city's mammon. That's why I need a special pasuk to tell me after the arifa that it's asur b'ana'a. However, al dat Rabbi Yochanan that it's asur b'ana'a even while it's alive, why do I need another pasuk to teach me that it's asur after arifa? It's already asur. When was it ever mutar? So that's why now I'm saying, oh, this makes a lot more sense to Rabbi Elazar, but not according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now there's arifa. So Gemara says, no, after Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, he says, I can explain it for Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Zira says, b'shem Rabbanim, al rabbanim tzricha, shelo tomar huvik shita Torah arifa lepidyono, ma pidyono tzelechulin, af arifa lo tzelechulin. Because you know what? It could be, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you might have the Havamina as follows. When the animal's alive, it's asur b'ana. But if I do what the Torah tells me to do, which is do a pidyon, it becomes chulin. So maybe if I take option B, what the Torah tells me to do, which is do arifa, it also would become chulin. So that's why we specifically need, in other words, I've done some sort of action which would change its status. So just like pidyon changes its status to become mutar, so too arifa, maybe if I, you know, it's asur, I can't get anah, but once I kill it, maybe I can still get anah. That's why the Torah tells us to take it the other way. In other words, you can't use the kol shekin. That's why it makes a contribution. Okay, now the Gemara says, Matzinu devar lechulin. So here, what the Korbanator says is as follows. Have a look. He's saying this is a question that Rabbi Shimon is saying to Chachamim. So if you remember, Rabbi Shimon says that with this machlokes Chachamim, that we said that if it dropped dead, that was the way Rabbi Elazar explained it, whether it's mutar or asur b'hana. So he's saying now, matzinu devar shehurumo, that it requires, if you like, redemption. You'll sell a chulin, va'asu ba'ana'a. We'll get to this in a minute. So he says, if it dies, it's mutar. So I'll just show you the Korbanator. It says, Kach hishiv Rabbi Shimon lechachamim. Heichem netzavah shuhu, upidyano yotzeh lechulin. Shrei afaseh shupudina petach hamor yotzeh lechulin. V'ye'asu ba'ana'a kodam pidayon. So what he's saying is, this is a kind of way we're trying to explain it now. That according to Rabbi Shimon, it sounds like it was never really asur b'hana. Okay? Only if the arifa occurs. So his reasoning is, I don't understand. How do we have something that's asur, and then you do some sort of action, like some superion, and they both become mutar? That's his kasha. For example, normally the korban, if one's like old hekdesh, you do a pidayon, and the transfers to the other thing. So his reasoning is, if at the end, after pidyon, they're both mutar, it can't be that one of them was asur beforehand. That's the way kind of he's explaining it. So the Gemara is now saying, "Hey Tivun, what are you talking about? Hare tevel tavula maaser ani. If you've got tevel, tevel again is untithed produce, but you've actually separated everything except for maaser ani, which is the second tithe in the third and sixth year. Hare hu v'hurmato yotzeh. It's asur before you do that." And when you do the action, they both become mutar. So what's the big question? You can have such a situation where something can be asur, and when you do a particular action, the resulting thing, the so-called bidayon, or whatever you're doing, becomes mutar. So don't have such a kasha in our case. I'm giving you precedent. Oh, sorry, another case. The Amar Rav Bar says that Rav Hunav says b'shem Rav hauchel perotot tvulin the ma'aser ani. In that situation, it's still asur before then, as we said. So Rabbanan de Kisrin says b'shem Rav Yirmiyah, kach mishavim chachamim nav chachamim have accounted to Rabbi Shimon. So the counter, again, it seems to be the way the Gemara is understanding the machlokah between, just to repeat this again, Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim, that whether it's effectively sounds like it's asur ba'ana before, while it's still alive. Okay, that's what it sounds like. So what the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Shimon says, when do you find something that requires a redemption and is still like mutar ba'ana? The fact that it requires redemption must mean it's asur. That's what they're arguing. So how can you say it's mutar ba'ana, even if it drops dead, for example? So hey tivun, so Gemara says, I don't know what you're talking about. Hare b'chor adam ta'od pidyon umutar ba'ana. We're talking about like a human being. It requires pidyon, but while it's still alive, there's no isur hanah on the human being, right, to the human being. So therefore, again, don't have such a kasha. We can have a requirement of pidyon, but there's something still mutar ba'ana. Okay, that's what Rabbi Shimon would respond back to the Chachamim. Okay, fine, let's continue. The Gemara now says, Machran v'kidesh. Now this here has two different explanations, the Korbanator and the Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe seems to line up with the way the Rishonim explain it. So I'll explain him first, and then I'll show you the Korbanator after. It says, we said that if this is so, now someone sells it, and once he sells it, what happens? He gets that money. Once he sells it, uses the money, it's Mekudesha. The question is why. So Rabbi Chagai says, B'shem Reb Zira, B'she'ein D'mehem. Now, B'she'ein or She'einam B'd'mehem is another Girsa, meaning the Iso Ana'a doesn't transfer onto the money of the sale. That's effectively how we explain it. So Amar Avchina Zoto Merat She'ein Mekadsh. Now, you'd have to change according to the Pnei Moshe. She'mekadshin, you'd have to be the Mekadshin B'gzeila. Why? Because when you sold it, the simple understanding here is when you sold it, the person thought he was getting value for money. No, when he did the, you thought he was getting something. He gave you money for something that actually has no value whatsoever. You've got the money now, which is effectively gezel, because you've got money for something for nothing. And we're saying you can mekadesh with that money. Ah, you see, this seems to align with one of the shito we saw this debate before, that mekadeshim begzela. Okay, let's presume it was after Yush or something like that, just so we don't get run into those problems. That's why Pnei Moshe explains the final piece. But interestingly, Korbanet doesn't do this. He says, but she'ained mehem means, I'll just read inside, hadat nan b'achram v'kidesh b'dmehem, lo ayri b'dmehem rishunim sh'machram. We're talking about the first monies. Ela ayri b'sheichlifan. So it's like a second degree away from the Yisra Anah, not the first degree away. V'avali chalifei chalipin. That's when it's shari. How about the mehem would be asur? Because Vavalekim Megadesh Bisuana, because the Mayim itself, it sounds like the Issa would go into the Mayim. You would need to be Khalifei Khalifeihem. So it's like Mamash opposite position to the Pnei Moshe here. And Zoto Merit, in that way, he keeps the Girus in the continuation, She'ein Mekachim Megzela. Dimlok and Havalele Mok Me Matnitim B'dmeyim Mamash. Because if not, the Mishnah should become a Dmeyim. Vavalekim Megadesh Levisha Damim Megzela's by their door. In other words, the fact that he says, it's funny, because he says the Mishnah talking about, like chalipi chalifin, because if you could mekadesh bed mayhem, you should have talked about the direct mayhem, which he said the mission is not talking about. So in other words, there's the fact that it's, he says the fact that the mission isn't talking about a case like the Pnei Moshe says it is, if he's adamant it's not, must mean a mekadesh big zela. Fine, said it. Let's continue now. This is now halachatet. Hamekadesh betrumat betrumat umasro umatanot kahuna. So this is all the things given to a kohen, truma, ma'aser to the levi, or truma, ma'aser, or matanot kohen, in the matanot kohen, the gifts of the kohen, or mechatat. And mechatat's an interesting one. This is the water that is had the pasha tzadparadoma placed on it, and they use that water to matar someone. That's interesting here that the Pnei Moshe points out. I'm not sure if go into this in the Gemara. I don't know. No, I don't think it would be talking to Gemara. But he says it can't be talking about where it was the schar of doing the action, but he actually sold the mechatat itself. Okay, but like the mechatat, you want to be kaddish with the mechatat. Okay, or the efer chatat, or the ashes. Hareze mekudeshe, afal pi Israel. Even if it's in Israel, trying to make kaddish with truma, we have to understand how that works. So this next piece, by the way, we saw Masechta Nedarim. The Pnei Moshe Korbanet explained it differently, but to be consistent with the way we've been learning it together, we'll go according to the Reb Chaim's explanation as we go along that we learned back in Nedarim. Again, whenever I see a sugi with Reb Chaim, it just for me personally, it just feels much, his pshat seems to be clear in my head. Maybe it's because we've been learning like him for so long. Anyway, let's continue. Hamegadesh betrumot ul masrot. So Rabbi Yossi Mechilin Amar, Adam no ten masrot betovat hanaya. So betovat hanaya means, there's different explanations here. Tovat hanaya, according to the Reb Chaim explains it, he says that He can accept money for someone to give it to somebody else. Meaning, I have truma, I have the right to choose who to give it to, and that right, that tovedah, has a value. So therefore, someone can pay me, say, can you give this? Well, talk, let's make it very simple. Let's say it was a Israel. He says, can you, I'd like you to pay you some money to give the truma to my son-in-law as a kohen, a mashal kaseh. Okay, an Israel to give it to a kohen. So an Israel paying Israel, very important. We'll get to this later about Israel to a kohen soon, or kohen to Israel. Okay, fine. So Adam notem masorot de petovat hanaya. It's interesting. The korban eder here says hanaya can also mean that he can beschar shi'aseh lo tovat hanaya, meaning has a value to it, and he can like he, the kohen can he can owe him a favor. Okay, that's usually how I understand tovat hanaya. But this is why I explain it to Reb Chaim now. So, however, insert importantly here. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Adam Notem Rastotav. No, you can't. Now, the way Reb Chaim explains here is very important because you'll see how this works with the later sugya. He says that Tovat Hanaya is not considered mammon. It's not considered monetary. Like you have the right to give it to someone, but it's not considered mammon itself. Okay? Okay, and if you do that, and if you sell it, then it will appear, in other words, if someone pays you, it'll appear as if you're selling your ma'aserot. Okay? In other words, it's like the person's buying it from you, and you're not allowed to buy and sell ma'aserot. Okay? That's very important. So again, according to Rabbi Yosef Mechanina, Tovat Hana is a value, and if someone's paying you, it doesn't look like you're selling ma'aserot. It looks like you're simply paying you for your rights to decide who it's giving to. Okay? However, according to Rabbi Yochanan, well, there's no Tovat Hana is not mammon, so therefore, if he's paying you, it looks like he's buying it off you, and you're buying and selling ma'aserot, which you're not allowed to do. Okay. The Gemara says, Ma tam de Rabbi Yosef Mechanina. According to Rabbi Yosef Chanina, why so? Because if ish get kodeshav lo, yeah, it's considered his. However, ma'avad Rabbi Yochanan simply says, who saw a whole tovat hana eino mamon? He says, no, that's the itin lekol kohen shemishi yirtzeh. Now, what that means is that the way Rabbi Yochanan understands it, who says tovat hana is not mamon, still maintains that he has the right to give it to everyone, which means that a kohen can't come to his house and say, you got truma, give it to me now. Fine. The Torah can still say you have the right to say, no, I want to give it to somebody else, but it doesn't mean it's mammon, not lo yeh. So again, fine. The Gemara says, Matnite, paliga Rabbi Yosef Mechanina. Why? Because if some, again, Rabbi Yosef Mechanina says, it says, notenan betovatana. That has a value. So Gemara says, konam kohanim velevim nehenim li. If he says, I'm making an edit that no kohen and levi can come and can get any benefit from me. Then we take itlu al korchol, then trumas ma'asros are taken from him by force. So what it sounds like here, why is it a kasha? Because again, Rabbi Yosef Mechanina says my trumas ma'asros are effectively mine. I have a monetary right. So if I say no kohen can get any benefit from me, that means if I take my trumas ma'asros, he's getting benefit from me because I have a right. There's a monetary value in my rights to give it to whoever I like. But nonetheless, we say that it's taken by al korchol. So you see, it's a kasha. So the Mara says, no, patel ba'omer efshi liten manan la kol ikar. No, the whole point is, why Rabbi Yosef Nechanin agree in this situation that that kohen would take a bal korcho? Because in this situation, he says, I'm not interested in giving to any kohen. Okay, now why is that different? The reason why it's different is because when the Torah was zachtalo, the Torah gave him the, if you like, this tovat hana, to, if you like, this right to give it to whichever kohen he likes. But as soon as he says, I'm not giving right, I'm not interested in giving my Trumas Ma'aserot to anyone, then it's over almost like the Torah take, it's like he doesn't have that right anymore and almost becomes Hefker. Okay, so that monetary value is gone, if you like. So that's why it works. Okay, so no kasha yet. So Tela Shulken, why? How to bring that to proof? Why do I know this works? This is true because if he says, I don't want the kohanim in such and such a town to have it from me, then it would work, and other kohanim, he'd be able to give it other kohanim. Okay, so in other words, the neder itself is not wrong. It's only when he says, I'm not interested in giving to anyone, then the whole concept of this tovat hana sort of disappears. Now the Gemara says, Matnina pliga al Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yochanan is the shita that says it has, if you like, no monetary value. So let's have a look. Because Omer, who, again, I'm changing the gears as we go along. According to Oz Vahada, but also later on, it's basically a lot based on Nadarim. So it says, Palig ha, Omer hu Israel, Heilech Sela ze. So in Israel, the ten Bechor ze leben biti kohen. So an Israel can say to another Israel, listen, here's some money. I would like you to give that bechor to my grandson. He's in Israel, has his son a Kohen, because his daughter married a Kohen and now his grandson's a Kohen. He's allowed to do that. Now, why is this a catch of Rabbi Yochanan? Because Rabbi Yochanan says, well, there's no Tovat Hana. Tovat Hana is in Mammon, so you can't really pay for it. And it might look like you're now selling bechors, which you're allowed to do. So Gemara says, no, pata barot selim no leshnei kohanim. Oben bito. This is a situation where he was intending to give this bechor to two kohanim already from the outset. So already half of it was already meant to go to his grandson. All he's wanting to do is say, just give it all to my grandson. Now, why is that different? Because according to Reb Chaim, he says that since he already wanted to give half of the chinam, basically free, it doesn't no longer appears like he's selling bechor. Okay, that's the way it works. It's interesting because the way the Korban Eda explains it, he says because the ikar of the payment is not to give it to person number two, so that's why it doesn't really run into such a problem. Fine. Now Gemara says, "Ba'am kamei Reb Zira b'hada kohen l'Israel." Okay, we've talked about an Israel paying in Israel, but can a kohen pay in Israel? Let's say the kohen's got the Israel's got great trumot, and he said, "Listen, I'd like to pay you a small fee. Let me be your kohen." The Reb Chaim explains like that, li'ten lo specifically, not to another kohen, which is a bit like I think other mefarshim explain it. He says, "Kohen l'Israel." Kohen Israel Asur, Mad Rabbi Yossi Amar, what do you think the Pshat is? And he says, Lo Agivun. He did not respond. The reason the Korban, sorry, the Reb Chaim says the reason why he didn't respond is because it's Pashut. The fact that the Maisa was about an Israel tending Israel, Mashmal Kohen Israel is not. So now the Gemara considers this. Reb Chizkiya says, B'shem Rav Acha Achin Amarlun Al Dat Rabbi Yossi Minchina Kohen Israel Lama Hu Asur. If that's the case, why is it that a Kohen to an Israel is Asur? Meaning Kohen paying Israel is Asur. Isn't it because Lo Mipnei Marit Ayin? Because it looks like you're selling it. So therefore, Af Rabbi Yochanan, now we understand, should Rabbi Yochanan, back in the Mishnah, if you remember, because Rabbi Yochanan says, Tovadana Einu Mamon, and you can't do this any of these arrangements. So too, it Israel Asur Mipnei Marit Ayin, because of the Marit Ayin that it appears that you're selling, as we said, selling Maasrot. However, very importantly, here in it's interesting. I from Darim, but it's I had this in the Darim, but it says in Demai as well. Has this Gusa right now? It says Amar Rabbi Yossi. I have to insert this part because it's both in Darim and Demai. Amar Rabbi Yossi Barbun Chilul Kodshim Yesh Kan V'Tamra Mipnei Parat Ayin. There's a Chilul Kodshim here. How can you say it's because of Marat Ayin? Now it's funny because the commentator blends these two concepts together, but the reading we're having now divides them. Marat Ayin means it appears like you're selling kodshim. You can't do. But here there's might be actually a chilul kodshim. So what's a chilul kodshim? Because it says v'od min hada. Let's say a kohen goes to pick up a strumas of masros, and the balabait says, sure, I'm happy to give you. Just help me schlep all these containers. And he's helping and assisting and doing all these things, and then he'll get the strumas of masros. You cannot ain not nim lahem truma. You cannot give him truma and not meiser. You cannot give him anything. Ve'im not nen natan. If you give him a raise a chilel, you mechal al kodesh. If shnei amar v'lo echal al kodesh ben Israel. Ve'en mechal mitchalalim otam. Why is mechal al otam? Because they're meant to be getting it free, and by doing one pshat I saw once, by doing some sort of work, it's saying that my avoda in the base of Mikdash, my role as a kohen, is not enough to be worthy. I have to chip in. I have to do some manual labor in order to be worthy to take the truma. Okay, yet to mikan. Not only that, it says mikan trumatan eno truma masrut meno mais victor en hektesh valema katuver reshit b'shochi yishbotul v'kohaneh b'mechiroru. Well, Reb Chaim explains his pasuk is that if you're not respecting the kohanim and giving the trumas respectively, they're who are the dayanim. They're going to have to turn to other sources of funds, and then they're going to be accepting bribes and the like. That's the way he explains that piece. So, in other words, it seems to be you think the problem with a kohen paying this tovat ha'anah, if you like, to be the one to take it, is an issue of marat ayin. No, it's much worse than that. It's a chilul kodshim. It's like a kohen maseh mebeit ha'granot. Okay. All right, we've got to time it over the daf, but we'll continue here. There's a little bit more to the end of the Mishnah, which talks about all the consequences and how bad it is that according to Masei Beragat, I don't know how the Rauda brings to the world, but we'll continue for a minute. So. Right,
You know,
culture.
this whole system seems
In
terribly inefficient.
what
If
sense?
the Kohanim Levim do not have nachala, essentially this system allows that there could be Kohanim Levim who will not receive anything
Don't mean
because nobody, because somebody would choose, because no one will decide to give to them.
You're saying because if you say they have Tuvah Taneh, or everyone agrees they can choose who to give it to, they might just give it to their relatives, family, close friends, things like that, and they won't get.
That's what one would assume to be more like Otzer Beis Din, like you'll give to
Yeah,
your
fair, fair.
local Otzer Beis, and that gives to the Kohanim,
Yeah, fair. So
the
with Truma
Levim.
Zamasra, I think you're right. I think it does sound to be a problem. In Beis HaMikdash, it was different, though. There was a chalukah. There was an even distribution of all the things in Beis HaMikdash. But you're right. But they didn't work in the Beis HaMikdash that often. It was like a couple of days a year, really, at the end, when you divided the Mishmarot and Batei Av. Yeah, good question. I don't know.
Very good. Thank you.
Kol tov.